Welcome to the March 13th, 2015 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Hey, everybody. This is Addie coming back at you on the podcast, hosting for Lullabots this time to talk about DrupalCon Latin America. We'll get in that a little bit more. Let me introduce my co-hosts here. I'll start off with Joe Schindler.
Hello.
And we also have Mike Herschel.
Hola, buenos noches.
Daniel Dago.
Hey, hello, hola a todos.
And Chris Albrecht.
Hi, first time caller, long time listener.
Yeah, we have some newbies. Woo, I love it. These four bots are on the podcast this week because they were all in Bogota, Colombia for DrupalCon Latin America. And I am extremely jealous, and so I thought I would share my jealousy with the world by having them on a podcast. Before we get into that, let me just run through the news and events stuff real quick. On Drupalize Me news, this week we finished up our multi-site series, and next week, we have a new group of videos coming out that are all titled What's New in Drupal 8. So that's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing those hit the wires, the waves. What am I even trying to say there? I'm waiting for them to come out. In Drupal news, the Drupal Association board elections are open. They started on March 9th and they go through March 20th. So given today's the 13th, you have 1 week to go vote. It's very important that you vote. This is the voice of that's going to be on the board that represents the community at large. And these are the people who make some pretty big decisions about how we spend our community money and how we address the policies that we need to as a community. So go check that out. I guess I should also just mention that I am actually running, but that's not to say that you have to vote for me because I'm doing the podcast. I mean, that's weird, but I should mention it. Just, I hate promoting myself. Next. Okay. So events that are coming up, we got some cool events on deck here. First up is coming up in about a month, which is Florida Drupal Camp in Orlando, Florida. Woo-hoo! Mike Herschel's definitely going to be there. I'm imagining that there might be a few other Florida bots there too, perhaps, I'm thinking. We got like, what, three of you down there now, don't we?
Yeah, and that doesn't include Matt Cleef, who's in Lower Alabama.
Ah. Womp womp. And then, of course, we also have DrupalCon Los Angeles, which is coming up May 11th through 15th in sunny California. And there are going to be a lot of Lullabots there. Almost the entire company is going. So that's going to be crazy pants. And then there is also this front-end design conference, which is happening in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Florida. And that's later in May after DrupalCon. That's May 21st and 22nd. And Mike showing up again. He's kind of everywhere. And then also one of our directors, Jared Ponchot, is also going to be speaking there. So you can check that out. We'll put links in the notes and stuff, and you can find more information on those cool events and, you know, say hi to the bots, man. Rock on. Events. We're done. But speaking of events, what an awesome segue. Holy cow. Speaking of events, so Drupal Camp Latin America happened in Bogota, Colombia. And
DrupalCon.
Did I say Drupal Camp?
You said Drupal Camp. It's DrupalCon. Size of a camp.
Huh. Okay. I'm sorry. Con, camp. I just said camp, con, and conf in a row in the event. So this is the first DrupalCon in Latin America. It's a pretty big deal. It's been a long time coming. I did not get to go. There was just too much conflict with other travel that I needed to do and being home. So I didn't get to go. Super jealous, man. Oh, this one. And actually, this is also the first DrupalCon I've ever missed. So it was like extra sadness going on for me. It really hurt. So anyway, I'm going to like live vicariously through you four. I want to know everything about it, man. Yeah, I guess like what was this DrupalCon like and what was awesome about it?
You know, it's really interesting that you said that it's the first DrupalCon that you missed, because actually this is the first DrupalCon that I attended. So
sweet. It was,
yeah, it's really, I hope to see you in the next DrupalCon, by the way. It was really exciting for me to see all of these interactions between the people in the community and all the presentations and the sprints, in the mission about Drupal says that the community is like the strongest part of it. It actually is, because we as a community, I'm from Ecuador, and our community has started to create some links between all of us in order to have bigger and a stronger community here, in order to have bigger events and help us each other. So it was a really amazing experience. Everything was absolutely amazing. Bogota is like a really, really nice city. You have to be there at least once in your life. We all of us had a really good time, and yeah, awesome place.
So I'll go next. So I've been to all the North American cons since San Francisco. I think this is one of the funnest DrupalCons I've ever been to. Of course, I've never been to South America before. Part of the reason that I went is that I live in Florida, so it's kind of it was a straight shot from Orlando down to Bogota, and it was pretty inexpensive. I didn't know what to expect. I was excited about the adventure, but man, like as a city, it blew me away. And so I'm doing all this research, you know, kind of trying to prepare myself. And it's the third largest city in the Western Hemisphere. The only larger cities are Mexico City and New York. So it's like, it's huge, it's humongous. And there's all these like huge mountains around it, you know, that make it really, really pretty. And it's just like really vibrant. And the Latin American community down there was like, honestly, like really badass. They were super, super nice and welcoming. And they organized about all these cool events that I'm sure we'll kind of talk about. And as a con, like it was really fun, because it was really, really intimate. You know, you know, when you go to, I don't know, like Austin or Portland or something like that, you have 3,000 odd people all going out. You can know someone there and not even see them. So at a con this size, which was like a little bit under 300 attendees, you got to see everybody. You got to strike up conversations with people that, you know, you might know of, or you might have met before, but you really didn't get to know. I thought that was really, really cool. And then just, of course, and I also had a lot of fun at the code sprints on there too. Just, it was a really large code sprint for such a kind of a smaller event, which I thought was really cool, because most of the people from the con actually went to the code sprint, which I thought was really like pretty amazing. So yeah, so that's my overview. Ta-da.
That's awesome. I have to say, just generally, also, I agree with you that the smallest conferences, DrupalCons I've been to, like SEGED is probably one of my like amazing conference experiences, which is, again, one of these sort of small, really intimate, amazing hanging out with people ones. That and Sydney, actually. Sydney was also another one of those.
Cool.
I think it's interesting how, like, as these cons, DrupalCons grow in size, they kind of serve a little bit of a different purpose, it seems, too. And the smaller ones, like the one in Bogota, you're fostering a community, and you're starting to help build enthusiasm in Latin America for Drupal. In theory, over time, if there continue to be Latin American DrupalCons, they'll grow just like they did in the U.S., right? Like the first ones in the U.S. were very small, mm-hmm. as well, and they're very intimate. And we all go, oh, yeah, that was the best one. And then they got bigger, and it was all downhill from there. But I don't think it's all necessarily downhill. It's just all – it's different. during one of the keynotes, I think it was Larry Garfield's keynote, he was talking a little bit about this, and he showed some photos, like the group photos that are taken at every DrupalCon, and he went through a handful of them over the last, like, 5 or 6 years, showing how the DrupalCons in the U.S. have, you know, grown exponentially and are quite large now. And then compared it to the, and then showed a photo that had been taken the prior morning of the group at DrupalCon Bogota. And it, the impact for me was this interesting, like, you started to think about, huh, is the implication here that in 5 years, the Latin American DrupalCon will also have grown to 3,000 or 4,000 people? Is that the goal? And, like, kind of, what does that look like? It was an interesting, like, message and an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, and Joe, if you know, if you base it on the enthusiasm that the people had down there, I'd say they're on track. I mean, it's all the smaller camps that are going on in the different countries in Latin America. I mean, all over from Rio to Ecuador to Colombia. Everyone just seemed like really into it, really excited. And I think that the biggest thing from this, from the DrupalCon, was really breaking down a lot of those boundaries and borders that new people into Drupal are seeing, and realizing that it's not just for enterprise. Anybody can use Drupal. You can all get in there and do something with it. We need translations. We need this. You can use it to set your sites up for your own companies. And I feel like, just from the people who organized it to the new people who are coming in just trying to get a feel for it, the energy and the enthusiasm from everyone was amazing. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see a future Latin American DrupalCon grow to 1,000, 2,000 people.
I have a quick question. Speaking of translation, this reminded me of this. So translation, so some sessions were in Spanish and some were in English, and there was actually translation going on for this conference, right?
God.
Like,
it was amazing.
Real-time translation. For the, like, what? Like, that's badass.
I gave a presentation about Drupal 8's plugin system, and I'm like standing there watching these people have to translate what I'm saying, and I'm consciously thinking, like, these words don't even make sense in English. How are they gonna translate this to Spanish? It was crazy. And then after the session, when people were asking questions, there was someone that wanted to ask a question but didn't have the enough English to do it. And so he asked the question in Spanish, and then the translator translated it into a headset that I was wearing. So I could, like, oh, okay. So the question was this. It was quite impressive.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing.
Those translation headsets were, I didn't use one. I speak enough Spanish where I could understand what was going on. But, I mean, there were three languages that was all translated between. You could get it in English, Spanish, or Portuguese.
Right.
Because that's the native language of Brazil.
And, yeah, that's a large population.
Yeah. Yeah, so they had three translators that set up in these booths who their task was to translate all the nerd talk that we're spewing out on these stages into three different languages. And I'm thinking, well, Drupal really should have better naming conventions for things, because I haven't listened to any of them, but I'm really curious to see if any of those translations came out talking about, like, Drupal Vistas. I'm like, no, it's Views. The module is named Views, not Vistas. That's got to happen at some point. But yeah,
I kept being like, and this implementation of an abstract interface, I'm like, that's not going to translate well. Never mind. Like,
they were amazing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really, really cool. So yeah. I didn't want to derail anybody's thoughts, but I'd heard that and I just was like, wow, that's neat, man. And how awesome would it be to be able to, over time, do that more and more. I mean, you know, especially like in the European cons, but, you know, at other cons that we end up having as we begin to move around more. I mean, and frankly, even in the US cons, you know, like, wow, that would be amazing.
It's like we're in the future.
What?
Yeah, I think that was great about people too. Like, even if they didn't, so people who were asking questions at the end of presentations and keynotes, who didn't have the, you know, the second language skills to ask the question in that language or in English. There were a lot of people who were there who just volunteered, stood up and, you know, sitting next to the person and would translate for them. Like, they'd ask their question in Spanish and somebody who spoke both would then relay the question in English to the presenter. It was very cool. And it was such a smaller group, it made it a lot easier to do that as well. We were sitting a lot closer to the stage, and somebody could run around with a microphone and get up to the person pretty quickly. So it really just brought it all together there, being such a smaller group and making it a little more intimate, a little easier for people to ask questions, not feel so intimidated by having an arena full of people stare down at them.
So what about the actual sessions, speaking of sessions and presenting and stuff like that? Like, was there a theme about, like, kind of the stuff that was going on, or was there, like, a focus of the sessions? And what were, I guess, some of your favorite sessions?
I think, like, you know, obviously the big focus for Drupal 8, I think, you know, everybody listening to this podcast know that we're all kind of waiting on it. So there was a lot of talk about that. Larry Garfield's keynote was pretty amazing and really kind of, you know, brought up the enthusiasm level for Drupal 8, which I loved. And I actually missed it in person, but I watched
it.
But I watched it on YouTube. And we should post that into the show notes. It's a really, really good presentation. And, you know, he talks about just how Drupal 8 is going to really benefit everybody. You know, the fact that you can build a whole site without downloading modules, you know, like right now you have to download views and everything else to kind of build a real site. And with Drupal 8, everything, a lot of stuff is included. So there was that. There was also, I think that another session that I enjoyed was a Chris Vanderwater. I can't pronounce the last name.
You got it. You got it, man.
Yeah. Eclipse C.
You could. Yeah. I would just. Yeah. Exactly. You can always just use his handle instead.
Stop while you're ahead.
You know that one guy who talked about stuff. Anyway, he was talking about kind of like Drupal going forward, even past Drupal 8, and integrating them with Composer and like modern PHP workflows and stuff like that, and contributing back to the PHP community as a whole. I thought that was like really, really interesting, and it could mean, I think, a very, very different community for Drupal going forward, which is like really, really exciting and maybe a little bit scary at times, but either way, it's pretty cool. I wanted to say the best session, of course, was Joe Schindler's.
Just Schindler. Oh, shucks.
Yes. Aww. Yes.
One thing I want to mention about the presentations that I liked the most, there were right now three in particular, Joe's in first place, and also about this Drupal console module that is being developed particularly by the Latin America community. It was like a huge thing for a lot of people, even when the code sprints were happening, because a lot of guys who were involved in solving these tickets and things, starting using the Drupal console module in order to create some modules and it's not a module actually. It started creating modules and services and things and this and that, and it felt really, really great to see this solution in place in order to help everybody help understand Drupal 8, because there's a lot of concepts that are not clear enough yet in that sense. And with Drupal Console, it was really cool to see all this magic happening. And other than that, I really enjoyed this Ubuntu Juju. I think that's the way you pronounce it. All related with the DevOps and things like that. It was really interesting to see how the other people are solving the problems related to integrate services and deployments and staging and production, all these sort of things, and with one product or one solution, and having the chance to know how they actually do that. And I'm not sure if that happened, but they were trying to create like a charm in order to have Drupal available to this whole community that is using Ubuntu Juju. And I don't know what happened with that, but it was really exciting to see all the DevOps talks happening. Yeah.
Cool. And I just want to hop in real quick about the Drupal console stuff. Amber actually did a really awesome podcast, the last podcast, all about Drupal console. So if anybody wants to learn more about that stuff, you should listen to the previous episode of the podcast.
You asked earlier if there was was any like theme to the sessions and stuff, and not necessarily the sessions, but one of the things that the Drupal console, again, it kept coming up like everywhere I went at DrupalCon in Latin America, just everyone was talking about the Drupal console and people were really excited about it. And it was interesting to see, and again, going back to Larry's keynote, he kind of alluded to this, but a lot of the work, a lot of the key contributors to the Drupal console are all part of the Latin American community. And during Larry's session, he kind of called that out. He's, you know, like, these are people in your community that are actively involved in creating, making Drupal more awesome. And when he mentioned the Drupal console and the list of people that have been working on, there was like a standing ovation. And people were just super excited about like, oh man, yeah, Latin America is as much a part of this as anyone else. And that was cool to see. And there was sort of a sense of like local pride, I guess, in like, you know, we helped build this thing. And during the sprints, there were a bunch of people that really wanted to help work on the Drupal console. And it was a neat thing to see that kind of happen.
Did you guys, did any of you stay for the sprints?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. do some extra sprinting?
Well, I think everybody stayed for the sprints. That really blew me away. I mean, I've gone to sprints in Denver and Portland, and I mean, you get a con that size, you fill up a room with 600-800 people or a couple rooms. You know, but that's 2,000-3,000 people at the conference. I think everybody stayed and brought their friends to these sprints. They filled up the entire room. Yes.
You it could was, tell I mean, because the internet didn't work.
Oh man, this wasn't even like we're having slow bandwidth. This is like we can't find the Wi-Fi anymore. We blew that hotel's Wi-Fi out the door. Like we must have pissed off the rest of the people staying at that hotel because everyone's like, I'm just gonna use my room Wi-Fi, and then that went away. Some guy in the
when
back
the Wi-Fi
like,
went out and like no one could connect anymore, and everyone, you could tell everyone was like, oh man, code sprints without Wi-Fi. I have to give a shout out to Mike Herschel, who all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, was like, well, I guess I'll start drawing portraits of people, and drew these absolutely terrible renderings of all the people at the sprint, which was awesome. And then he's like, well, I guess I'm done with this. Maybe we should have a paper airplane race. It was just like, oh man.
That's awesome.
Talk about enthusiasm. It was good. And it really like raised the spirit too. And then once the Wi-Fi was working, everybody was kind of like in a, you know, happy mood and sat down and started working. It was fun.
Yeah, I think I did some of my best artistic work in my life at that at that sprint there.
I saw those caricatures. If there was any indication of your artistic skill outside of web development, stick with web development.
Oh, the burn.
I see how it is.
Just kidding. Love you, Mike.
So outside of like, you know, sessions and the conference itself and stuff like that, what was like your favorite experience? Like it could be about the conference or just about Bogota or just or the larger Latin American community, whatever. Like what is your like that was amazing from
everybody
from
at once? Tejo.
Yeah, Tejo. Yeah.
All right, what's Tejo?
All right. So Tejo is, if you're familiar with the bag toss game, cornhole bags, whatever you want to call it, it's similar to that. Except instead of bean bags, you have a giant heavy stone. And instead of a wooden board with a hole in it, you have a giant clay slab with a metal ring at the center and explosives around the metal ring.
Yes! Explosives!
And there just happened to be just kind of lots and lots and lots of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of facilitated the explosions.
Yeah, the beer is an integral part of balance. You need beer in one hand, giant heavy stone in the other to keep your equilibrium just right to try and hit the explosives with the stone.
This was like the official, you know, after conference event one of the evenings. And so I'm on the website, like looking around for, what's going on tonight? And it's listed as like Colombian games.
Yeah,
and so I'm thinking,
Colombian games.
Oh, board games, like, that's not really my thing. I don't think I'm going to go. And I was like, totally like, trying to find people to go out and do something else that evening. And someone was like, no, you really got to check out this Tejo thing. And I basically explained it as cornhole with explosives. And I was like, all right, I guess I can try that. It was pretty fun.
Yep.
Related to that, I think one of my favorite experiences of going to Bogota was the people there. I felt like I got to meet a whole bunch of really friendly and enthusiastic people. A handful of people that I know already from having worked with in the Drupal community, but never actually got to meet in person, and a whole bunch of people that I had never met before, who were just like, hey, we're going out to dinner tonight. Do you want to join? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. Why not? And ended up just having a blast, like learning more about Latin America. People from not just Colombia, but from other countries as well, and getting to learn about some of the differences between the countries. And apparently, like, Spanish is different depending on which country you live in, and they have different words for avocado. Yes. And I was very confused. But that was one of my favorite things, is just all of the people.
It's also dancing with Ryan's Rama.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I also got some salsa dancing lessons. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, Mike. Talking about the places in Colombia, well, the one I liked the most was going to Zipaquirá, this Catedral de Sal, like a really amazing place. It's like underground church with a lot of fancy stuff and a lot of history inside of it. So if you have to go there whenever you visit Colombia, because it's a really nice place. I don't know if you guys had a chance to go there, but it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I missed that. And I've heard from several people that was really, really awesome. So, yeah. But, Joe and I, we ended up walking around the city a whole bunch, and that was just really cool, just to kind of get out and just go up and down the streets and kind of, we ended up walking around like the historic district and down by where all the government buildings are and popping into cafes and like little bars and, talking with people or hanging out, and just, we walked a lot. That was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing that.
And so much that you don't realize until you get into the culture and people teach you about it. Like, I expected to go down there and that every cup of coffee I was going to have was going to be like mind blowing. Yeah. And they explained to me, like, well, actually, all the good coffee we produce in Colombia gets shipped out. It's all exported. We get the bottom 2% here. I'm like, oh, well, I guess that kind of makes sense. Sell the good stuff, make your money from that. But even their bottom 2%, they call it El Tinto. It's still actually really good. Yeah. Like, all the coffee I had down there was still really good. And then found a couple places that had more of a gourmet style, really, you get a really good cup of coffee made from the better quality beans. And so that was really cool to try that right from the source. And one of the other big things I thought was really cool was a big site you can see down there called Monserrate, where Bogota is seated like right at the base of these big mountains that jut up. I mean, it's already at 8,000 feet above sea level. And then it's like their downtown, their skyscrapers are right there at the base of these big mountains. And I live in Colorado, so that's not easy for me to say. But these were big freaking mountains, like right behind the buildings. And so you can go to the top of one of these and look out over the entire city, and it's absolutely majestic. And they have a lot of touristy things up there, a couple restaurants, and then a big cathedral, big church that is still very active. Apparently Sundays it's hard to get up there. But that's how that whole thing got started, as sort of a religious place for everyone to go to worship. That was centuries ago. But it is an absolutely amazing view, and I really wanted to hike it, but we got there a little bit too late, so we had to take the gondola up. But even that was still really cool.
So we're probably going to head towards wrapping things up. So my final question to you guys is, what is the one important thing that you learned from going to this DrupalCon that you took away from that, whether that's a technical thing or an experience thing or whatever, but like, what's the one thing that you really feel like you learned in some way?
I have to say, the sense of building a community. It's the biggest thing that I learned in this DrupalCon experience I had. And it's something that I'm trying to cultivate in myself and all the people from here, from my region. So That's the best thing. I love DrupalCon, not only because the talks, and not only because the people of the place, but because all the results we got from that, and that's building a stronger and a bigger community down here.
I'd say for me, it was really. It's sort of, we call it the imposter syndrome, where you don't feel like you belong in a situation or around a certain group of people. You know, and you see big names like, you know, Larry Garfield is doing a keynote and Dries is there, you know, and I'm sitting at a table right next to Dries doing some work on a sprint. And then I go out to dinner and I'm sitting right next to Larry Garfield talking to him. And I still get that from time to time. These are like huge people, big names in the community. And I like that it was still such a smaller conference that you get to go out and do those things and hang out with people. And really, I think it emphasizes that bringing the community together that Daniel's talking about. And it makes me want to participate even more in any way I can. But I think mostly into teaching and encouraging people to step up and ask the questions instead of sitting back and being like, oh, well, no, I can't ask him. He's too busy doing all these other things, and he writes Drupal. And to get over that hump and that hurdle and really, you know, ask the questions, bring people together. And that's something I want to do a lot more of now. It was very inspiring to see the enthusiasm down there, and I want to keep that going instead of, you know, all right, now we all go back to our regular lives and we'll see you again next year. You know, let's keep it growing and see how many people we can get at next year's con.
Anyone? Yeah, I'd have to agree. I thought that with both Daniel and Chris, the enthusiasm aspect of it was pretty cool. And just people being so excited about everything that was going on was motivating. I came away from it. I guess I do this a lot with DrupalCons. Like, I'll go into the conference sometimes feeling a little bit burnt out and, you know, like, oh, I've been doing a lot of Drupal lately. And then you leave and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why I love doing this. The feeling of that. It was also, we talked about this a little bit, but having the sessions translated was an interesting experience for me as a speaker. And having one of the translators come up and ask me beforehand, like, can you go a little bit slower? Can you speak a little bit slower? And it was interesting because I, as a result, ended up going through and like deleting a couple of slides out of my slide deck, being like, yes, I can go slower if I delete things. And it was nice to just be reminded, like, slow down. As a speaker, you don't have to cover like absolutely everything in a single presentation. Get the key points, make sure that people understand the message that you're trying to deliver, and not necessarily that you got as much possible information out as you could. So that was a good reminder.
Awesome.
Yeah, and from my point of view, you know, there was two things. Number one, just kind of upping the enthusiasm level for Drupal 8, which, you know, hopefully will arrive sooner than later, is important. And then just kind of building those relationships with people that, you know, I've either talked with online or haven't talked with online but became friends. I think that was really super important and a lot of fun, you know. So, yeah.
Awesome. Does anybody have any last thingy-majiggies that we didn't cover that you really wanted to talk about and share?
Just as far as like the Latin American community, I think Wampy is going to be speaking at DrupalCamp Costa Rica. I'm just doing a quick Google just to see what those dates are, so right. We can put them in here.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah.
The 29th through the 31st of July. Cool. So yeah, Wampy will be there. So that's kind of goes hand in hand with the Latin American community, of course.
Cool. Yeah, and Wampy is another developer here at Lullabot.
Yep.
And also an awesome guy.
Absolutely.
And they have a really nice website. The DrupalCamp Costa Rica website looks really, really good.
Cool.
So yeah, shout out to whoever did that.
And I would love to go.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. Oh, and speaking of next year, just to sort of round things off and also looking towards the future. So the next DrupalCon is DrupalCon LA, which I mentioned earlier in the events coming up. That's in May. And then the next DrupalCon after that is DrupalCon Barcelona, which is going to be great. And that was actually DrupalCon Barcelona. This will be the second time DrupalCon's been in Barcelona. The first time as a community, we actually named something DrupalCon, and it wasn't actually like OSCMS or some other thing. It was DrupalCon Barcelona. So that was the first European con I went to. So anyway, I'm super excited about Barcelona, and that's coming up in September. Mm-hmm. And then on the horizon is going to be DrupalCon India. Ooh. So I believe that is going to be the next winter con in 2016. So I'm excited to try and make that one. Doing all three cons is definitely, I think, a high goal, but I really would like to be able to not miss another DrupalCon because I have many sads, especially cons in new regions. Oh man, just, I want to be there. So anyway, so keep your eyes open for that.
I forgot to mention it's in 2016. It's also happening in Drupal Summit in Rio, Brazil.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Sweet. So, yeah, keep your eyes open, people. Good stuff happening. Cool. Well, I think that's a podcast. Thank you guys very much for coming on and letting me live vicariously and kick myself a little bit for not going. Are we all going to be going to DrupalCon LA? I know I'm going.
I'll be there.
I will.
No, sorry, I don't.
Oh, Daniel.
Sorry, guys.
All right. Well, anyway, hopefully, dear listeners, we will see you at DrupalCon LA or at another Drupal event. If you see me or other bots, come up and say hi. We love to talk to folks. So, yeah. Happy Drupalin', and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Hasta luego.
Bye.
Adios. Gracias. Bye-bye.
Hasta la vista, baby.